A legal education means you will learn to speak in a new language. You will be taught to achieve insight into the world around you and to sharply question what you know.
You can't handle the truth!
What are you doing, detective? What are you doing talking to my client without me present? You sneaky Pete.
Lose! I don't lose! I win! I win! I'm a lawyer! That's my job! That's what I do!
Okay, Comedians and Law fans, very exciting. This is Alex Barnett. I am joined by Joan Weisblatt. Joan, say hello to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Joan and I are going to be manning the ship for, or manning and womaning the ship for episode 37 of the Comedians of Law podcast. Very excited. This is Joan's first time in the pilot slash co-pilot chair.
I'm a virgin.
Very excited to have her here. And before we get to the whole podcast, we as usual have a few big items coming up for Comedians of Law in the near future. And Joan, you're going to be part of at least one of them, at least.
Yes.
June 8th in Brick, New Jersey. Comedians of Law are going to be performing at Brick 46, right?
Actually, yes, but it's not Brick, New Jersey. It's in Rockaway, New Jersey.
Ah, thank you for the – that's right. Thank you for the correction. As everyone can see, Joan is – attention to detail is excellent. Mine is less so, but it's a good correction because if people go to Brick, New Jersey, then it doesn't help them. It doesn't help us. We're not going to sell any tickets.
They go to another show, but it won't be ours.
Right. So the Comedians at Law are performing at a venue called Brick 46. It's in
Rockaway,
New Jersey. And the show starts at 8 o'clock, correct?
No, it starts at 9:30.
Okay, so for everything I'm saying is completely wrong. Everything that Joan says is completely right. So
I'll continue to correct you, Alex, because that's what I usually do in my life. So
that's right.
It feels very comfortable to me.
All right. Well, so I'm a Jewish young man, and Joan is a Jewish mother, and so it's perfect. So she can correct me and tell me I'm not eating enough and I'm too thin, and you know, all that kind of good stuff. So we're performing as Comedians at Law on June 8th, and then June 21st is our first Comedians at Law show, which is benefiting the Gotham Comedy Foundation. And my recollection, Joan, is you're not going to be at that one, correct?
I will be on another continent.
Okay. So Joan, who has great disdain for the rest of the group, is blowing us off to go, I don't know, have fun or vacation or something while we slave away trying to build this enterprise into something worth seeing. But for those of you who won't be joining Joan on vacation in Luxembourg or wherever the hell she's going.
Do you really want to know? I'll make you feel terrible if I tell you.
All right. Tell me before I tell the people where we're going to be performing.
Okay, I'm going to Italy for 2 weeks.
All right, so Joan sucks, and no one listened to her anymore. No, that's great, mazel tov, but you still suck because you're not taking me. So Joan, June 21st, the rest of us who actually have to stay in this country because we don't have enough money to travel will be performing at Gotham Comedy Club at 8 p.m. in the Vintage Lounge. It's on behalf of to benefit the Gotham Comedy Foundation. It's a really good cause. It's headed up by a guy named Bill Drews, who is a cancer survivor who used humor therapy to overcome his illness. And he started this foundation to raise money and provide that kind of humor therapy for others. And we're going to take part in that by having a monthly show at Gotham. The first one, again, is June 21st, 8 p.m. Joan, we've got a couple of minutes left to intro the group. Other than the fact that you're annoying by going to Italy, tell us a little bit about where you're going in Italy.
Okay, well, you know, the first thing I want to mention, of course.
I'm sorry, are you there, Joan? We lost you. We lost you.
Of course, Alex, to bring you back down to earth, is there. And now I'm a comedian. So I did have a chance to build up a little bit of capital, and now I have a chance to travel. So I don't want people to think I'm a total jerk just because I'm going to Italy from the things that you said.
Okay. No, and people should understand, Joan is not a jerk at all. She's a lovely woman. I really like her. She's an integral part of the group. Just the fact that she's going to Italy is incredibly annoying.
Yeah, I know. Well, I understand that, but I'm not changing my plans for you. So I'm going to, or we are going to Florence and Rome, and then we're going to Rapallo on the Italian Riviera and up to the lake region, to Lake Como and Lake Maggiore and Piemonte.
All right. Well, so for those of you who are Comedians in Law fans who travel internationally, want to see Joan perform in Italy, she will be in Italy. She has a couple of nights off. If you want to hit her up on Twitter, hit us up at Comedians at Law. And if you request Joan's performance skills while she's in Italy, let her know where you'll be. And she'll be doing two shows a night at the Lake Como Hilton.
Absolutely. In Italian.
Right. George Clooney might be there. Who knows?
He said he'll come.
Right. And she might also do a show at the Pitti Palace in Florence, but it's up in the air still. All right. Well, Joan, we hope you have a good time. You'll be missed. Okay. You'll be missed the show.
I'll be there for the next one because that's a monthly show, isn't it?
It is a monthly show. And as long as we don't lay an egg on stage in the first one, we'll be back the second time.
Absolutely.
But let's get to the news. We've got three big news stories coming up, and we're going to go to the news right now.
But since when has the paragon of investigative journalism allowed lawyers to determine the news content?
Okay, Joe, we've got three really exciting news stories. I know you are really sharpening your teeth for these. And let's get right down to them. So the first one, and I know how you feel about this subject, is near and dear to your heart. I have no idea if that's true or not. But it involves of all things, a prostitute who was also a Zumba coach.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, listen, I like working out. I'm a big workout devotee. But, you know, it seems like it goes well together. Zumba is sort of a sexual type of workout. But at the same time, it's a little weird. But let's give the people some basic facts. First of all, the woman set up shop in Maine, which is bizarre.
Dunport, the home of the Bushes.
Right, but you know, Maine doesn't strike us as a very sexual, sexy place, which might have been the reason she set up shop there. But anyway, she was sentenced today to 10 months in jail in order to pay $57,000 in change in restitution. And this was on the basis of being convicted of 20 counts of prostitution, conspiracy, tax evasion, and theft. Joe, what do you think about this? What do you think about this young woman being convicted and the sentence that she's gotten?
Well, I think you'll be surprised to hear my point of view. I feel as though she was providing a service to the public. The only thing that she did wrong is that she didn't pay taxes on the money that she made. She was an excellent accountant. She kept detailed records of her clients and the payments that they made. I think the only thing that she did wrong was that she didn't report her income. I think that this is a consensual relationship between the Zumba instructor and her Zumba people, the people who attend her class. And if they decided to have a little soiree following Zumba, I understand that.
Let me ask you something. Have you ever taken a Zumba class?
I have.
Really?
Yes, and I've never seen a man in a Zumba class, but I have taken Zumba classes, yes.
Well, that sort of raises an interesting question, because I was about to say, you know, in most of these classes that you hear people taking, you know, whether it's step aerobics or yoga or Pilates or now Zumba, men are never in the class. So I want to know what kind of prostitute this woman was if she was offering prostitution services to her Zumba clients. I mean, if a guy was there, wasn't it suspect to begin with?
You know something? It's interesting that you should say that. It did not say who the clients were.
Oh, you think it was female clients?
In the article. And I was thinking, maybe these were female clients.
So you think this woman had this widespread lesbian prostitution ring in Kennebunkport, Maine?
Well, I thought about it. I don't think that was what it was. I think there probably were male Zumba attendance.
Let me ask you something else. Okay, so you've done Zumba. But you've, yes. I take it you've not engaged in prostitution after a Zumba class.
Well, if I have, I'm certainly not going to tell you right now. But I have taken Zumba classes, and I will tell you that the moves in Zumba are very sexual.
Right. Okay. So it lends itself to sexuality. Now, here's the other thing. You're from New England originally, as I recall.
No.
Okay, I'm wrong. Again. If you were from New England, put yourself in the head of a New Englander. Maine is like one of the least sexual states in the Union, is it not?
It is, but I think those people are so repressed that the opportunity to take Zumba opens up a whole new area for these people. They've been so repressed for generations, since the Mayflower.
I mean, I just have this vision of a Zumba class, this 30-year-old like Brazilian hot chick teaching Zumba to a bunch of lobstermen wearing their hip waders and reeking of, like, you know, barnacles.
And fish.
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds so nasty. But all right, so you've taken Zumba. You haven't engaged in prostitution, at least that you're willing to say on air.
Right.
But you are actually, if I hear you correctly, saying are you in favor of legalized prostitution? I mean, that's what it sounds like you're saying.
You know, I'm not against legalized prostitution. I think it's a victimless crime in most cases. And I think actually that if it were legal but controlled, it probably would benefit society, because prostitution is not going away. It's probably no different from alcohol sales. And as long as people are treated fairly in that relationship, I don't see why it should be illegal.
I'm with you. Although if my wife's listening, I'm not with you. but you're married. Like, let's say you found out that your husband drove all the way to Maine to engage in prostitution to hire the services of the Zumba instructor. Would you be upset? Would you be thinking like, thank God, because I don't have to deal with him? Or, I mean, how do you come out on this?
I would be in a lawyer's office immediately figuring out how much alimony I was going to get.
Nice. See, now for the Comedians of Law fans, remember Joan is probably the most seasoned lawyer of all of us, because she practiced for what was it, 30 years, right? So,
yes.
You'd be a formidable adversary in a matrimonial dispute. I wouldn't want to take you on.
Let that be a lesson to you. You'll never have to. Don't worry.
Yeah. Now, but here's the thing. It's like she was given a 10-month sentence and fined $57,000. I mean, the whole thing sounds very weird, because it's like, well, I mean, did she do something bad or did she not do something bad? Because 10 months is like, it sounds like they're trying to teach her a lesson versus like they're really, you know, punishing her for a crime.
Well, I think that what happened was that they reached a plea agreement because she cooperated. So that it seems to me that the prosecution was much more interested in the people who were having relations with her, as opposed to interested in her, because, you know, 10 months in jail is really nothing.
What do you think? Okay, so if she gets 10 months and $57,000 in fines, what should each of her clients or Johns be given as a conviction, to the extent that any of them are convicted? Or a sentence, to the extent that any of them are convicted.
Yeah, I think that the sentence should be that they should only be allowed to have sex with their spouse for the rest of their lives.
That's a good one. I like that. All right. Well, let's end it there and move on to the next news story. This one, this is just unbelievable. I don't know which heading this goes under, except for maybe like, never put past people the level of stupidity you think they're not capable of. Which is a tortured way of saying that people are idiots, and
yes,
they'll constantly surprise you with their idiocy. So out of Louisiana comes a story that the Louisiana legislature was unwilling to strike from the books, from the legislative books of Louisiana, a law requiring the teaching of creationism in the schools, even though that law was found unconstitutional by the Supreme Court 26 years ago.
Yes.
So here they've passed this law 26 years ago, the Supreme Court said that law is not does not pass muster. It's completely unconstitutional. And yet, the Louisiana legislature is like, well, we don't care. We're gonna keep this law around. You know, we think that having a law about the teaching of creationism is important. And science be damned. Listen, Joan. I don't know your politics. I don't know how religiously observant you are, other than being Jewish. What's your view on creationism?
I think it's a bunch of hooey.
That's about as succinct as you can put it, fans. Right there. It's a bunch of hooey.
Yes.
Well, okay, so here's the point. Do you think there's any validity to this notion that has been promulgated in some other states that, well, you know, how scientists don't know for sure, so therefore you should not be prevented from teaching creationism in the schools?
There's a separation of church and state in this country, and what they are attempting to do in Louisiana, in fact, what they're doing is violating the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. They have no right to do that. They have no right to, what do they call it here? They call it creation science.
Yes.
Is that an oxymoron or what? Creation science?
Well, I mean, listen, if you remove, I haven't looked at the curriculum that goes with the creation, quote-unquote, science school of thought. But let's assume for the moment that it does not have any overt mention of religious figures and just says there is a God and God created the earth and the universe and evolution is baloney and God, everything happens because of God. How is that a violation of the First Amendment?
As soon as you start bringing God into it and espousing that, you are violating the separation of church and state.
So your view is God, the mention of God in and of itself, or himself or herself, however you want to couch it, is a religious tenet that violates the First Amendment rights of, let's say, atheists.
I don't think it belongs in the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay, I'm not so worried about atheists because I have some problems with atheists too. I feel as though atheists are creating their own religion, which is a lack of religion.
But why is the mention of God in and of itself, without putting it in the trappings of Christianity or Judaism or Islam or Buddhism or Confucianism, why is just mentioning God religious, quote-unquote?
Well, if God isn't part of religion, then what is?
I know sex definitely should be part of religion and generally is.
Yes.
If God is not part of religion, well, listen, you're Jewish. You know as well as I do that there are at least Reconstructionists who argue that you do not have to believe in God to be a good Jew.
Do you know that I was brought up in the Reconstructionist sect of Judaism?
I did not know that. In fact, I would have said something else because my theme tonight is to be wrong about everything about you.
You know, unfortunately, you broke up a little bit. Could you?
Oh yes, I said I would not have known that about you because I would have guessed something else. Since every time I say something to you about you, it's wrong. So now the fans have heard that twice. But in any event, I did not know your Reconstruction. So your Reconstructionist, do you believe in God?
Well, I didn't say I'm a Reconstructionist. I was brought up in the Reconstructionist tradition. Okay. In fact, I belonged to a Reconstructionist synagogue up until a couple of years ago. So,
and then what happened? They started serving different kind of lox on after shul, and
yeah, they started getting way too religious on me, and I thought I better get out of here. If anything was comfortable for me in Judaism, it was Reconstructionism because it did leave room for thought. It wasn't so rule-oriented, although interestingly, I found that gays were accepted in our Reconstructionist synagogue much more readily than intermarried couples.
All right, well, we're getting a little far afield from creationism here, but let me ask you this. Do you think that there are many gays within the creationist wing of thought here?
Absolutely not.
So you think being gay possibly is antithetical to being a creationist.
Do I think that? I know that. What do you think?
I'm just asking questions. I don't know. I mean, first of all, I'm not gay, and I've never asked a gay person because my view is that being gay is a genetic thing. You know, you're born gay, right?
Yes.
You don't choose a gay lifestyle. You are gay or you're not gay. It's the way it goes. So if that's the case, then you think that you're born gay and you're also born anti-creationist?
Well, very interesting question. Well, because there are gay people who are religious.
Yes. I would imagine some are conservatively or are religious and also probably somewhat conservative politically.
But I can guarantee that their reading of the Bible is much different from the people who are espousing this law in Louisiana.
Interesting. I don't know. We don't have a definitive answer. We might have to do some more digging into that. But here's the other part is that what strikes me, I mean, you know, legislatures are supposed to pass laws and that are constitutional. I mean, it's sort of like the ABCs of being a legislator.
Yes.
How do you sit there as a legislator saying in good faith you're doing your job when the Supreme Court has said this rule is unconstitutional or this law is unconstitutional and then say, no, we're not going to vote to remove it from the books?
Right.
I mean, I just don't get it.
And you know what? My guess is as good as yours. Actually, and I don't mean to nitpick here, but the what was going on here is that creationism has to be taught along with evolution if evolution is going to be taught. It's okay to teach creationism alone in Louisiana, but it's not okay to teach evolution without creationism.
Yes. So the point being that, God forbid, excuse the pun, sort of, that the pernicious evolutionists and the Darwinians out there wanted to promulgate their view of the world, we have to have some creationism, but we could just do any creationism we want, unfettered and unchecked.
Right.
Of course, they haven't been able to do it for 26 years. I mean, the bottom line is, when the Supreme Court ruled as unconstitutional, they were no longer engaging in that's a good question. Were they still teaching creationism on its own in places where evolution was not being offered?
Well, the answer to that is not in the article that we read, so I don't know the answer to it. What I found incredibly interesting is that Bobby Jindal, the Muppet, put his seal of approval on this law, even though it's unconstitutional.
Interesting. Yes.
Governor
Bob
Jindal.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, he's an interesting cat. He's got a lot of, idiosyncrasies.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, listen, we don't want to get too far into political discussion here. I mean, we're not about politics. We have fans who are Republicans, fans who are Democrats.
Yes.
I don't want to attack one part or the other. You know, we're talking about the law here. And
yes.
the hypocrisy or idiosyncrasy of the legal doings here.
I guess the point I'm trying to make, though, is that you would think that a governor of a state, be it Republican or Democrat, would be sensitive to the concept that a law was in violation of the Constitution of the United States.
I think that's an excellent point. And I think that would be a great, debate question. Governor, what do you think of the Constitution? Are you in favor of it? If you are, how do you feel about, you know, having laws floating around that are unconstitutional? You know, those I'd like to see him answer a few of those.
Yes.
And I think you're just the person to ask him.
Oh, are you volunteering me?
Well, if somehow Comedians Law is invited to moderate a debate at which Governor Jindal is a participant, I think mm-hmm. we should have you as our spokesperson.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, yeah. But in any event, there you have it. I mean, Louisiana, the hotbed of hurricanes and jazz and God knows what else, now is still engaged in teaching creationism, notwithstanding Supreme Court precedent. Well, let's move on to our third story then, Joan, because this one's a doozy. Let me set it up and then I'll let you take lead because you're a parent of somebody. My son's 21 months old. So I'm not quite at the point where I know how teenagers think and behave and react. But you have kids who are a little bit older and can speak to this. So this story is about a teenage girl who filed a lawsuit against United Airlines because she claims United did nothing to stop a passenger who spent long periods of a six-hour flight masturbating and exposing his penis.
Yes.
Now, first of all, I have so many questions for you about this, but let's set the table. Your biography. Your kids are how old?
My boys are 24 and 20.
Okay.
So I do not have a girl.
What's that? No, I know. So it's a little different with boys, but if, let's say, when your kids were 16 or 18, they had been on a flight and they reported back to you, Ma, some guy was masturbating for like the entire flight while we went to go visit grandma or whomever. How would you react to that report?
I would wonder why the airlines, if they became aware of the situation, hadn't done anything to make the situation go away.
Well, like, for example, what do you think a flight attendant could, like, I mean, let's say the guy is really big and the flight attendant's all, you know, fairly petite women.
Yes.
Now they go over to him, they say, sir, can you please stop masturbating? And he says, why don't you join me? So at that point, what are they supposed to do?
Well, I think that, at least from what I gleaned from this article, that the flight attendant did try to shield this young woman from the man who was masturbating, and he stopped for a while. But once the flight attendant moved away, he started again. I would have thought the flight attendant would tell the man that if he did not stop, that he might have to be removed from the plane.
Okay, so, all right, fine. They're going to remove him from the plane. Now, I can't just open the door and throw him out at 30,000 feet.
Why not?
Well, I mean, I suppose they could, but I think it's unlikely that they would have, right?
Right.
So,
you asked me as the mother of a teenager.
Right.
If this were going on the airplane and there were other seats, knowing myself, knowing my children, I would mention it to the flight attendant and I would change seats and that would be the end of it.
Right. Okay. So if this had happened, let's say you were on a business trip or let's say you were flying to Italy on a vacation and this guy was sitting across the aisle from you, you know, masturbating, your position would be like, I tell somebody, he doesn't do it. I tell him again, they don't stop him. Now I just move my seat. That's what you would do.
No, that's not what I said.
Okay.
I said that if my children were on the plane and I were with my kids and I experienced this, that I would probably just tell them to move their seats.
Okay. What if it happened to you, though?
You see, if I were by myself on a plane, before I would move my seat, I would make observations and decide whether or not I liked my seat or not.
Okay, so would you factor into your observations that the man next to you has an erect penis and he's fondling it?
I would factor that in.
All right, so this has happened. Let's say on the next flight you're on, whether it's to Italy or somewhere else, this happens to you and you're by yourself. What do you do?
Yeah.
Like,
well,
what specifically?
What I would do is I would not say anything to the man. But I would, in all seriousness, I would go to the flight attendant and tell them what was going on and ask them to take care of the situation.
Okay, and what if she says, I spoke to him and he told me to suck it. and he wouldn't stop.
Well, you know, there are certain rules that flight attendants have to deal with on airplanes that are much less egregious than masturbation. Like putting your tray tables up and you're making sure that your seat is in the upright position. And I think having your penis in the down position is probably something that,
So possibly you could have suggested to her that, or him, could flight attendants or both genders, that they very swiftly or put his tray table in the down position, thereby injuring his penis and putting that in the down position. I mean, because it's like, seriously, what do you do? The guy is masturbating. People tell him to stop. He says no. I mean, do they do an emergency landing and have the guy removed? Do you think the air marshal would taser the man's penis?
I don't know, but this sounds like a great flight. I would like to see what would happen.
I mean, like, right, so it's like, you know, he won't stop. The flight attendants are getting frustrated. They don't know what else to do. They call the air marshal. He tasers the man's penis. Now, if he tasers the man's penis, does the man now have a lawsuit against United for personal injury?
Well, maybe so. But, you know, I think that the way that this should be handled by the airlines is very much like the way that the MTA in New York, the Metropolitan Transit Authority, handles things that go on the train. There's usually a sign that says no spitting, no radio playing.
Right.
Right. So in an airplane, it, you know, it does say keep your seat in the upright position and keep your tray tables up. And there should be another sign that says no masturbation.
Right. Okay. Well, let's take the flip perspective. I mean, because clearly what the guy did was wrong. I mean, I as a man, as a person with a penis, I'll speak for all men by saying that's not an appropriate way to use your penis. And, you know, you should keep it in public. I mean, you should keep it in private, keep it packed away. You should not be flipping it out on a plane.
No.
Now, let's take the other view, though. This young lady, this woman who's 18 years old, files a lawsuit alleging negligence, intentional infliction of emotional distress, and false imprisonment. Well,
the false imprisonment part, I don't understand at all, because there's no sign that she made a request to sit elsewhere, or that she had taken herself elsewhere, or that they insisted that she stay in her seat while this man masturbate.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, she was 17 at the time, and she did complain to the flight attendant, so maybe we have to give her a break because, you know, you don't necessarily know that you have the option of switching seats or that whether or not the flight was full. My question is, though, was she really harmed to the level of having a compensable injury?
Well, that's an interesting question. She certainly didn't have any physical harm from it. If anything, it's an emotional injury. She was afraid that he was going to complete his task at hand and that she was going to be physically assaulted with his bodily fluids. I don't know.
I mean, would you, you're a lawyer, or you were? Would you want to go to the jury with that case?
No, I wouldn't want to take a case like this. But you know, Gloria Allred, don't forget that Gloria Allred is the attorney who's taking this case.
Yeah.
And she tends to like this type of case, whether it's a good case or a bad case, because it's good exposure for her.
It's
an interesting case.
Fans, just a quick disclaimer or non sequitur there. If you hear the name Peter Boyle very softly being spoken in the background of the podcast, it's because I am in the Rhodes studio of Comedians in Law, and my father-in-law just asked me who played the father on Everybody Loves Raymond, so I was forced to tell him the answer, which is Peter Boyle. But,
wow.
So I'm sorry, John, to interrupt you.
One of the lawyers in the case.
But the point is, I think the question is this, I mean, people talk about the McDonald's hot coffee case.
Yes.
Where, if you actually read up on the case, it turns out the coffee really was hot and the woman was very badly burned. Here,
yes.
I mean, look, I'm all about people playing by the rules and being good citizens. And this guy obviously was way outside the rules on this one. I just don't know whether this woman really has a true injury that should be the basis of a real lawsuit. I mean, because now it's like, what's the next lawsuit? Well, you looked at me funny, or you have bad breath. Or, when you sneezed, a particle of your mucus flew through the air four seats and landed on the back of my head, and now I have the flu. I mean, there's no evidence this guy has any kind of communicable disease that she could have gotten from his bodily fluids, as far as I know.
And I agree with you about that. In New Jersey, at least, I know from my own experience that in most cases, in order to collect for emotional distress, there has to be some physical harm. And there's, at least from the article, there's no evidence of physical harm.
Right, or the real threat of physical harm. And here, there's no evidence that there was. On the other hand, I mean, and Kevin's not here. Kevin Israel, Comedians of Law fans, who is our resident porno expert. Kevin, I'm sure, would be sharpening his knives to make this movie called, a Loft, about a man with an erect penis flying 30,000 feet and masturbating. And then having a gangbang or a twosome or threesome at 36,000 feet, not in the bathroom, but joining the Mile High Club right in the aisle of the airplane.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you should say that, because when I read the article, it struck me that they never identified the defendant in the case, and I was thinking it might be Kevin Israel.
it might be. I mean, you know, look, Kevin is a man of what do they call Dionysian tastes?
Yes.
You know? And he is a big fan of pornography.
He has a voracious sexual appetite.
Well, I don't really know how you know that, but okay. I mean, I think that's – unless it's by self-reporting by Kevin, but yes.
Yeah. That's what you describe.
Yes. But all right. So the answer – the bottom line is the guy was outside the lines, and the woman and her lawsuit – maybe outside the lines here a little bit, but we'll see. But we have to. We should, you know, Joe. We typically ask people to tweet us with a question or a good answer to a tweet, a question that we tweet. So I think out of these news stories, it seems to me, this lawsuit is the ripest for a good tweet. So next week, folks, when you're tweeting us. At CalPod, that's hashtag CALPOD. The question we're going to put to you is, what would you do if a passenger on a flight you were on was masturbating either in a seat next to you or in the seats directly across the aisle from you? And whoever tweets us the best answer will get a free T-shirt, a free Comedians of Law T-shirt. And that's how we're going to wrap up the news. So now we're going to move to good cop, bad cop.
Look, I'm really sorry about that. I just, I saw how aggressive you were being, and I thought, wow, I gotta go even bigger than that since we're doing bad cop, bad cop.
What? No, I said good cop, bad cop. I'm the bad cop, you're the good cop.
Okay, then there it is. That's it. I thought you said bad cop, bad cop.
Okay, Joan, we're going to the last segment of our show. Oh, I should tell people, by the way, we don't have an interview this week. We typically have a scintillating and engaging interview at this stage of the show, and we call that segment the interview. We don't have an interview this week. Our guest to be had a last minute conflict, so we're gonna have to reschedule them, and I'm gonna keep it secret for now, just because I don't want to say that they'll be on next week and then they're not. But we're gonna have a big, very excellent surprise guest, and people, it'll be well worth waiting for. So we're gonna switch right to good cop, bad cop, and this week, although I'm almost always the good cop, this week, Joan is going to outgood me, which is annoying, and I'm going to be the bad cop. All right, Joan, you ready?
I am.
All right. Well, here I'm going to go right into my bad hat. So every week, week after week, for the last 36 weeks, we've been beseeching our fans to tweet us, and we said the best tweet every week would get a free T-shirt. And yet again, here we are, and week 37, we've been giving and giving and giving to our fans, and we've got two tweets. What gives? I mean, what do we have to do for the fan base to get them engaged in the show?
Well, you know, I'm thinking that maybe it is that it could be a few things. One, it could be that people are very busy, and they just don't have the time to tweet. And the other could be that maybe they just don't like the T-shirt. Have we looked at our T-shirt and made sure that it was
Come on. Listen. The T-shirt is high quality. It was made by some of the finest child laborers in Indonesia or Bangladesh, possibly.
Well, maybe that's the problem, you see?
No, I disagree. I think the T-shirt is fine. The logo is fantastic. We're hilarious, mostly. The answer is, people are they have gotten soft. They're so used to social media. Everything's at a flick of a button. they've now gone beyond. It's like the it's like life in the movie WALL-E, where people just lie on chaise lounges and can't even move. Why aren't they tweeting us? I want to know this, and I'm upset on behalf of myself and the whole group.
Well, I'll tell you. I think that you're overreacting. I think you think about what's going to happen in the future as opposed to what's happened in the past. And if we keep up the quality of the show and you have me on often enough, I think that people will probably start to tweet more.
Joan, are you talking through a filter now? You sound like you're very far away.
Oh, no, I haven't done a thing.
Okay, that's much – whatever you just did is much better. All right, well, look, here – let's cut to the chase. I will give ground on this much. We got two tweets from Justin Blaine and Mr. Bernard, and I will respond to them online, but we're going to get them both T-shirts. Guys, Mr. Bernard and Justin, if you inbox us, direct message us your address, you'll get a T-shirt, and I'll message you on Twitter about that. But I'm telling everybody who's listening, we want some tweets. We're not joking around anymore. It's 37 weeks. We're knocking ourselves silly delivering the goods for you guys. And we want to hear from you. And even if you write in to say that Kevin Israel is porno's worst actor, we want to hear about it.
Alex?
Yeah.
Say please.
Okay. It's against my better judgment, but I'll say please. Please. All right. Well,
it seems so hard for you to say that.
It was. It was. But look, Joe, we got to wrap up this week. Our time is growing short. It's been fantastic having you on your maiden voyage at the podcast. Everyone should know that Joan is an active member of Comedians Law. We'll be back in the co-host chair frequently going forward. And before we go, Joan, do you want to have a way for people to reach you, like on Twitter or Facebook?
Yeah.
Is it at? You want to give your at sign?
People can reach me. Yes, people can reach me on Twitter at Joan Weisblatt, and that's one S and two T's. Or they can reach me at Gmail, joanweisblatt@gmail.com. And I just wanted to mention, if you don't mind, Alex, that on Sundays I write on the blog for Comedians at Law. So when everyone gets to hear this, please go back and have a look at my my blog this week, because it's going to be a really good one. I love the way it came out, and I think you're going to really enjoy it.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And folks, again, for the group, this is Alex Barnett and Joan Weisblatt. Please don't forget about our June 8th show in Rockaway, New Jersey at Brick 46 at 9:30 p.m., and our June 21st show at 8 p.m. at Gotham Comedy Club in New York at 208 West 23rd Street. That one is for a charitable cause, the Gotham Comedy Foundation. And if you want to hit us up, generally speaking, we're at Comedians at Law on Twitter, Comedians at Law on Facebook. Our website is www.comediansatlaw.com. And we're here every week on our podcast. And our website, obviously, is comediansatlaw.com. So we look forward to talking to you again very soon. Again, for the group, this is Alex Barnett and Joan.
Joan Weisblatt, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
And we'll see you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.